It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you enjoy the show this morning. I'm going to start off with the reason why we want to let natural resource professionals manage our natural resources and why we don't want politicians to become involved in managing our natural resources, which seems to be something that increasingly, no matter what state you're in, politicians feel that they should be the ones who set seasons, laws, regulations, whatever it might be. This was never the way the North American conservation model was intended, and it is going to have dire consequences on our ability to manage fish and wildlife and open space resources going forward. So this morning, I want to talk about something that nearly happened in faraway Idaho, which would have affected the entire country, even though it may seem at the outset, how could that affect us? So a legislator in Idaho, a highly respected individual, in fact, he is the majority leader of the Idaho House, decided for whatever reasons that he would introduce legislation which would ban the flooding of fields for waterfowl hunting, and that standing crops would no longer be permitted if you were going to hunt waterfowl. He did that 8 days ago. Within literally minutes, actually he introduced the bill on Friday, so 9 days ago. Within minutes of this bill being introduced, emails and texts were flying around the country basically saying that waterfowl management was unintendedly under assault. And the consequences of this would have been that in Idaho, it would have become illegal to flood fields and hunt over them, which is a widely accepted practice, not only in Idaho, but across America and Canada. And what a legislator was doing, involving himself in a natural resource management issue, probably will never be known, but it points out the danger that we run into when, and it happens in Illinois virtually on a weekly basis. The Illinois legislature thinks it is the DNR, but it undermines why we train professionals to run our natural resources agencies and why we need to let them be in charge. In the case of flooding habitat for waterfowl hunting, it is the most important habitat management that can be done for swans, shorebirds, you name it, all wetland-dependent wildlife. When it comes to agriculture, which has drained for the purposes of growing crops, virtually 90% of America's wetlands across the heartland and a little bit lesser, maybe 50% in the Dakotas and in southern Idaho where this is taking place, almost all of them. So the only habitat left, and in California, if it wasn't for what was being flooded for waterfowl management in the Central Valley, California would be a desert in the winter. And those millions of migratory birds that depend on it would have nowhere to go. So the flooding of agricultural crops is absolutely vital to the management of migratory waterfowl and water birds. Without it, we're going to lose tens of millions of birds. We're going to lose the habitat that provides their winter sanctuary, their winter food, and we're going to actually end hunting because we will so impact the ability to provide wintering and migratory waterfowl habitat. This legislature, well-meaning, of course, did not know any of that. So he introduces a bill last Friday. By Saturday morning, all the states in the country are becoming engaged in what is going on in Idaho. What does this mean for them? Is it the beginning of a slippery slope? Flash forward to yesterday. The bill was withdrawn from the Idaho legislature. So within a week, the waterfowling community, whether it be Ducks Unlimited, the Delta Waterfowl Foundation, state directors, the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, hunters, the whole spectrum came together to show why this was, in their view, the beginning of the end. In my view, the beginning of a slippery slope. If states, on a state-by-state basis, are going to be able to set regulations that impact the habit of migratory birds and the habitats of migratory birds in a negative way, we are going to lose our ability to manage birds on a continental basis. So in Idaho, the bill was pulled, not because the legislator who introduced it was ill-intentioned. He had no, in fact, his motives were very were absolutely pure, as far as I can tell. They were that he felt that individuals were unfairly flooding croplands to attract waterfowl and hunting over them in a way that disadvantaged other people who didn't have that ability. There's nothing wrong with that on the surface. However, once you just scratch beneath the surface, one realizes that it is the flooding of all these waterfowl hunting areas and management areas that keep ducks and geese in the area and provide all the wintering habitat that they need, or much of the wintering habitat. So the legislation's been withdrawn, but the point really is, in all 50 states, why do legislators think that they should be running natural resource agencies? They're not trained to do so. They have no scientific background to do so. Why do we need scientifically trained individuals to lead our Department of Natural Resources, to run our fisheries, to run our endangered species habitat? Why do we need these individuals if legislators repeatedly try to undermine them and usurp their authority for their own personal gain? And it was relatively recently in the West that certain states tried to get more landowner tags for big game hunting, which are extremely valuable. They wanted landowners to automatically get big game hunting tags to an extent far beyond that's permitted today, so that landowners could turn around and sell the tags for large sums of money, arguing that the big game is largely on the private lands and that the landowners should have this right. Well, the states where this was occurring said, but that's not biologically sound. And the legislatures, which were being pressured by landowners, felt that it was, forget the biology, that it was economically sound for the landowner to be able to do this. Anyway, it did not go through, but it points out, yet again, we have this conflict where increasingly people who have no experience, but because they're elected to office, think that they should be setting policies over which people have been trained as professionals. In Illinois, we're pros at it. However, in Illinois, we deserve what we get. We, for now many years, have not had a professional leading the Department of Natural Resources, a professional in the context of an individual who was trained or spent his lifetime in the conservation community and knew a lot about natural resources. We have in Illinois now had a series, not saying it's good or it's bad, I'm just saying it's what it is. We have had a series of former state legislators being appointed to run the DNR, which means that they understand how the legislature works, but they don't understand how biology works, and they don't know anything about the history of conservation and how we arrived at the North American model. And so we only encourage legislative interference when we appoint legislators to be directors of our Department of Natural Resources. And unfortunately, it's something that is a trend across the country as legislators become more involved in the legislation of natural resource management. Governors think, well, I got to have a guy who's a professional who can work with the legislature instead of having a professional politician, if there is such a thing, instead of having an individual who's actually been trained to run this. It would be like going to an accounting office and saying, I want the individual to run the accounting firm who has no training in accounting, but they're very well connected with the legislature. So when it comes to tax laws, they can help get laws through that will be beneficial. That's where we've arrived in Illinois, and have been actually there ever since Brent Manning left as head of the Department of Natural Resources. It's been just a series of political insider dealing, and I know that Governor Rauner has tried his very, very best. As you know, he's been on the air. We've talked about it. He's tried his very, very best to undo the politics that have corrupted the Department of Natural Resources in Illinois and made it, frankly, one of the least well thought of natural resource agencies in the country from where it had been at the pinnacle 20 years ago. We've talked a lot about it. He's talked a lot about it to the public on campaign trips, on business trips around the state. The reality is we have such an entrenched system of patronage in Illinois. It's a cesspool of political appointments. We just simply move former legislators from one position in the legislature to another cabinet position. That's a hard word to say at this hour in the morning. And it's terrible. But that's what we do in Illinois, and that's what other states are increasingly doing. So let's hope that that doesn't continue, and I'll get off my soapbox here, but we have to let professionals trained in the profession of natural resource management run natural resource agencies. And as a country, we need to stop this nonsense of legislators introducing legislation for their own personal favor, for the favor of a friend of theirs, whatever it might be, to undermine the integrity of professional wildlife management. And had this law gone through in Idaho, it would have changed the game and would have set a course which would have really harmed the ability to manage wildlife across the entire continent. So I'll be back in just a moment. When I come back, I want to talk very quickly about the budget that President Trump introduced and why everyone in the conservation environmental community is wringing their hands and why I offer, well, maybe it's not such a bad budget after all. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And the sky is falling. I don't know if you all know that, but the sky is falling, apparently. Not a political statement, but President Donald Trump released his budget this week. This, of course, after Congress blew through any debt ceiling and deficit reductions that we might have had in place. Not saying that's good or bad, it's just what Congress did. So President Trump comes out with his budget, which has draconian, in the words of many people, cuts to conservation and the outdoor community and the funding of natural resources. Just for the sake of discussion this morning, I don't think those cuts are so draconian. I think they're long overdue. And maybe what we're seeing is actually an attempt to shrink the size of government. And whether you agree with that statement or not, as being a good thing or a bad thing, I think that's what's going on. And so what I'd like to talk just a moment about and to have you think about maybe is it a bad thing that President of the United States says, I want to dramatically reduce the amount of money that we're spending on conservation? He's done this across the board for everything. So it's not just, if he was just singling out conservation, I would be the first one to use the WGN microphone to take him to task, say it's wrong, that conservation is critical to the health of America, which it is. But he has made cuts across the board. They aren't any worse in conservation than other areas. In fact, sometimes, some ways, they're not as bad. But what he has done here is set the stage for a dialogue of discussion as to what should the size and role of government be. The size of the government for the past 18 years has been expanding at a rate that is unsustainable, in my view, and largely has increased the amount of funding in conservation and across the board without showing a lot of results. So the hand-wringing that's going on is, my goodness, he's cutting back the Conservation Reserve Program. He's cutting back the North American Waterfowl Management Plan. He's cutting back LWCF, Land and Water Conservation Fund. He's cutting back funds for endangered species. He's cutting back funds for EPA. Everywhere you look, there's a huge, not even a surgical knife, it's a butcher knife. But isn't that bad? The rate of government has been so substantial for the past 18 years or longer that we really have to look at this in the context of cutting it back compared to what? Where we were 10 years ago? I think all these budgets are probably larger than they were 10 years ago. 15 years ago, they're all larger than they were then. So what he's done, Ronald Reagan cut back the growth of government. The Trump budget, which everyone has said is dead on arrival when it comes to conservation, has done more than cut back the growth of government. It's actually cut back government. And I would offer that that's a discussion that maybe it's worthwhile having, because do we really believe that every single dollar spent in conservation and natural resource management in America is well spent, that we couldn't find 10 or 15 or 20% cost efficiencies in the way government operates? I can guarantee you that we can find huge cost savings if we go at it when it comes to how we fund conservation, so long as we apply this to all forms of government. So I think what we're seeing is exactly that. The conservation community is up in arms. They're saying this is terrible. They're not interested in sharpening their pencils, and never have been, any more than the Department of Education or any government department is interested in sharpening their pencils and making reductions. I think as conservationists, and those of you listening to the show this morning who care about the outdoors, this is an opportunity to force decisions to spend money wisely. And yes, it does appear that at least if the Trump budget were accepted, we would have meaningful cuts to conservation. But I would offer that we also can be smarter with how we spend our taxpayer dollars, that there's lots of opportunity to spend our money better. And more money only ensures that we continue to spend money the way we have been, unchecked by how business efficiencies can be gained. And one of the things is technology. I mean, the drones are absolutely going to change the way that we research animals and birds and that we count them and that we monitor them. That's going to mean enormous, enormous cost savings. It's the private sector in conservation that's leading that charge. It's not the government. So the Trump budget, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it offers the opportunity to say, is there a better way? How can we do this better? And the conservation community should seize that opportunity and really say, let's figure out how we can do more with less instead of we just need more money to do the same things, much of which has not produced the kind of results that many of us would find to be acceptable. And my friends in the conservation community, I'm sure, are coming out of their chairs this morning because they're the ones whose boxes are being gored, their budgets are being cut. But I would challenge everybody who works in the conservation community, we can do things better. We just need to try. And we should accept that every year our budgets aren't going to go up and we're not going to get more government largesse. We're seeing the beginning of that now. Who knows where Congress will end up with this? It certainly won't be the cuts that the Trump administration has advocated. But I think it's an opportunity for the conservation community to get a lot smarter, to work more efficiently. And if anyone says we can't, with $22 billion, become more efficient, I would offer, I bet we can do with $15 billion or less what we do with $22 billion if we simply brought positive practices to how we work and really tried to be efficient with our taxpayer dollars. Thank you for listening this morning. I'll be back next week with more on the great outdoors. Illinois election's coming up. Has anyone heard anything about conservation? I think we're all waiting to hear that. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about vacancies in the federal government and how that's affecting or may not be impacting how conservation is carried out. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of America in Chicago, 720 WGN.